Welcome back, Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin. You're really funking up the show music beds, aren't you? You're really getting crazy with this stuff.
Yes, funking up. That's
funking
right.
It up. Yeah. Careful with that, right?
I know. I was nervous for a second.
All right, for an inside look at what's happening with the Arizona Diamondbacks, our great pleasure to welcome in our great friend from MLB.com, covers the Diamondbacks. He is Steve Gilbert. Hello, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you doing today? That's awful. Hopefully Jared has his finger on that dump button if you're going to be talking about music like that.
You never know what you're going to get from Jared Carlin on a day-to-day basis, but I think you're aware of that by now. You do know that, right? Exactly.
I feel confident with Jared on the dump button, so I'm feeling good.
All right. So, how are you feeling about this baseball team? From my vantage point, okay, let's examine what's happened here. They've lost Mike Leake. Cole Calhoun is COVID-19, and I'm not sure if you have any information on whether he plans on coming back. And then the news of Seth Beer. But other than that, it seems like everybody is into this and being diligent about what they're doing. Give us an update from what you're seeing.
Yeah, you know, I think that you know, you see yesterday the pictures of Eduardo Escobar wearing a mask even when he's doing drills. I think every team knows they have to take this seriously because they want to keep their guys healthy if they're going to win this year. And I mean, it's a dual thing. It's also health, but it's also, you know, the team that stays on the field, the team that keeps its guys the healthiest, is likely to do better over the course of this short season. So from what we understand, they've been taking it very seriously. All the meetings and stuff take place outside, in the stands or on the field with players separated by 6 feet if possible. So they're trying to take all those precautions. From what we understand, you know, Cole Calhoun will be back when those tests test negative and when it tests negative for a certain period of time. And the only person to elect not to play has been Mike Leake.
Yep. All right. So with that in mind, when the schedule was released, how did that information apply to the Diamondbacks? What struck you to actually seeing the sequencing of opponents on the Diamondbacks schedule?
You know, it's funny. You never know what's going to happen in a 60-game schedule because we've never seen one before. But a couple things that jumped out to me were, I think it's an advantage for them. You know, you get certain division opponents. You play 10 games against them. 7 of them are going to be at home, and 3 of them are going to be on the road. And they get the Dodgers 7 to 10 times at home. And I think that's certainly a positive for them. How much of an advantage that is, I don't know, with no fans in the stands. But I think that's a positive for them. They close at home. That's probably a net positive for them. You know, they don't have to go all the way up to Seattle for a series, so that's good. They get Seattle at home. Again, it's hard to read into all that stuff, but I think those are a couple things that jumped out to me as being maybe advantages for them. Obviously, it's tough playing in the AL West teams. There's some really quality opponents over there, but
yeah.
That 60-game schedule, Bick, I think, you know, you look at them against the Dodgers, and a lot of people were hopeful this year that even if they couldn't catch the Dodgers, they would be a wild card contender because, you know, Dodgers over 162 games, the depth, the financial resources they had, all that stuff adds up over 162 games. But I think in a 60-game sprint, the Diamondbacks even have a better shot at possibly getting hot and winning the division, if not a wild card.
Yeah, I hope you're right about that. When you look at this, I'm curious what you think about this, because baseball players made it clear that playing in some sort of a bubble was a non-starter. They decided that very early on, and here we are. What do you think their chances of getting to the season and finishing the season are?
I think it depends on, you know, how they're able to kind of go through guys getting sick, because I think that's, it almost seems inevitable that guys, and we were seeing it already, guys testing positive. And then you start to throw, you know, buses and planes into the mix and travel and a whole range of things, as you're referring to, by not being in a bubble. So I think as long as it doesn't become an outbreak that takes down too many teams or makes teams not able to field a team, I think they're going to try to get through this thing. Whether or not it works with all the testing, there's so many moving parts. And I think, you know, you listen to managers talking across the league right now, and our good friend Craig Counsell said something a couple of days ago. He said that the season itself is not even on his radar right now. just trying to coordinate how they get through these days and these workouts and get guys spaced out and tested and make sure that there's no big gatherings and all of that is kind of what's taken up most of his time. And I think that's, they're trying to work out something that's been, you know, an unprecedented situation, and they don't really have a playbook for it. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see how they're able to pull all this off.
The idea that baseball players are being told that they're going to have to be the best teammates they've ever been, where do you think the Diamondbacks fall on that scale, given the fact that they're going to be playing baseball games in an area right now that's very dangerous in terms of this global pandemic?
Yeah, I think that they seem to have a very responsible group. They've been a very close-knit group. They have some really strong leaders in that clubhouse, whether you're talking about Nick Ahmed or Escobar or Peralta. I mean, they've got guys in there that are going to step up, I think, and have made it clear that, hey, everybody has to take this seriously, because if one person doesn't take it seriously, that can hurt it for everybody. And so I think that the teams that have the best leadership and the teams that are able to kind of follow those rules will probably stay the healthiest and give themselves the best shot. So I think that's certainly very important to all these guys.
The Diamondbacks are going to be playing with a DH all season. The Diamondbacks have a 60-player pool that they can choose from. How come Yasmani Tomas cannot get a look? It seems like if there was ever a scenario where he would have a possibility to contribute, this would be it.
Yeah, you would think so. And it's possible that they could add him later on. I mean, the 60 that they start with does not necessarily have to stay the 60 that they finish with. But it sure seems like they've kind of moved on from him. And I think they're looking at using the DH as a way to get some of their regulars a rest. It's a way to get Jake Lamb's bat in the lineup. They can get Ketel Marte off his feet a little bit and spare him from having to play infield for a day or two and get him, keep his bat in the lineup, which is going to be important. So, you know, they also have Kevin Crone, who has a similar skill set to Tomas in terms of, you know, he's a big guy. He hits for power, plays similar positions. So I think given all those factors, that's probably why Tomas was left off.
Do you know, will the Diamondbacks have to play with the roof open this season?
Great question. I don't know that. I don't think so, because I think the workouts have had the roof closed.
Right.
So I'm assuming that they will keep it closed. Just thinking, it takes me back to my covering the Phoenix Firebirds AAA days here in the heat.
Uh-huh.
Out of old Phoenix Muni. But, yeah, I think that they will have the roof closed. I don't think that's going to be an issue for them.
Well, listen, here's where I want to go with that. I saw videos of them attempting to pipe in artificial crowd noise at Wrigley. Some people go nuts about this. Like, it's really the most communist thing you can do, right? I don't understand that, because I saw a video of a foul ball at Chase Field, and when it plunked the upper deck, it just sounded grotesque, right? What are they going to do about ambiance at Chase Field? Granted, there's no fans there, but are they going to put in some artificial noise?
They have talked about that. They have talked about how best to simulate some crowd noise. You'll be relieved to know that players will still get their walk-up music when they come up.
Which I find
really funny. And I, as a fan, I totally get what you're saying about, you know, the ball bouncing around. It sounds horrible. But I almost hope there's not piped in crowd noise, because I think it would be fascinating to be able to hear more about what goes on between the dugouts and what you might pick up, speaking of keeping your finger on the dump button. You know, especially uh-huh. for TV, if you could pick up, you know, the chatter that goes on between the two dugouts or, you know, whatever it might be, I think that would be kind of fascinating. But I think a lot of teams are going to try to simulate some noise. Just because it's such a foreign thing for players to have zero fans and zero noise.
All right, let's just hope we get to the starting line on this. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's always my pleasure, guys. Stay safe out there, and don't forget to mask up.
You got it, bro. Be well. Steve Gilbert, MLB.com, covers the Diamondbacks. He's been doing a great job for many, many years.